Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. There's something strange in our culture that tells its men, both young and old, that you don't really need authentic, loving male friendships to live your best life. It's actually one of the most harmful beliefs that a man can internalize. For far too long, too many men have isolated and suffered, leading lives of quiet desperation, when in fact, the deeper truth is that men long for authentic connections amongst the male tribe. As many of you know, I have long been an advocate for men's groups and more soulful, deeper friendships amongst men. My bond with the male tribe is one of the most enduring gifts that I've ever been given. The names and faces have changed over the decades, but my love and respect and admiration for my male friends is a bedrock of my life. And it's important that a man have a group where he can unpack life's challenges and express his deeper truths. For these deeper truths, if left unexpressed, will eat away at a man, sapping his energy and leaving a cloud or pall over the man. Without healthy male friendships, a man will become a repressed, shadowy version of himself. Part of being free-flowing in our joy and our feelings is being able to authentically express our inner life to other men, to talk about how things really are with us. It is also important to hear from other men, as another man may perfectly capture some shadowy truth about yourself that has been dormant and hiding for decades. I've seen this dozens, if not hundreds, of times in my men's groups. I don't often get to connect with a younger man who is completely committed to championing male friendships, so much so that he has written two books about the topic and started an organization called Brothers to spread the word. I love it. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Kim Everson. Kim is an author, a leader, and the founder of Brothers, an organization that champions the importance of male friendships. Here is my interview with Kim Everson. Okay, I am here with Kim Everson, author and men's leader, founder of Brothers, Kim Everson. Kim, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Tony.
You know, I came across your work and I immediately was smiling and clicking on it. And you're just a really great writer from Norway. And I was really excited to talk with you. You know, we've done I'm on my like 290th episode, and we don't always talk about men's issues. That's how the show was started, and certainly that would be one of the core topics. So this feels like kind of a classic in the topics we're going to talk about, male friendship and just some of the preconceived notions about men. We're going to get into all that stuff from your books. But just, I guess, to start with, just give us a little bit of a background, like who you are, where you grew up, what you've been doing for work, and maybe how long you've been involved in what would be called the men's movement or men's personal development.
Yeah, awesome. First, thank you for just inviting me in the first place. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
I'm 33 years old. I live in Oslo in Norway. I lived 4 years in Australia, so sometimes my accent, I swap from Australian English to American English, so have mercy on me. Mm. But I got the idea of Brothers when, was it in 2015, 16 probably? I founded the organization in 2017. Mm. I thought it was, well, in the beginning before I founded it as a nonprofit, I thought, okay, this is probably just going to be like an Instagram thing. You know, anyone can create an Instagram account. Because I was like, okay, we got to create a, I want to, yeah, I'll talk more about that. But anyway, so that's how it all started with men's work, and my main field is on male friendships, encouraging and inspiring boys and men to create healthy and strong friendships. Yeah, so that started in 2017, and I worked, different places for a few years while doing this. But in 2021, I got hired by Brothers. So now, since 2021, it's been my full-time work.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You write really beautifully about male friendships. It's not something that there's a lot of books about. It's not a topic that has been mined very well, I don't think. And it's interesting when I was reading your book, I was thinking, you'd mentioned something in the book that got me sort of thinking that, men, by and large, in this country, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on it over there in Europe and stuff. We're taught to, a lot of men I know that are healthy, they take good care of their health. They learn all about their health because they want to be healthy and live a long time. They learn all about financial literacy because they want to retire someday and be, have the things that they want. They invest in their professional development. Maybe they learn about public speaking or they, networking, whatever, all the things they do to invest in, but they never invest in their male friendships. It's something that just gets ignored. And I wanted to ask you, like, why are so many men, lacking in male friendships? And why is it important in your eyes to kind of flip that on its head and make that a super big priority for men?
Well, first of all, having strong relationships and friendships is vital for your health. It's become like a, I think we just recently posted it, but it's a popular thing to, or it's popular. Well, it's a thing, that some researchers say that as loneliness is as damaging to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. If you have friendship, not just pals, not just someone you just hang out with whenever it works and you just don't really talk about things, but when you have health friendships where you can actually talk about real stuff, talk about what bothers you, talk about, challenge each other to grow. If you have those friendships, you'll live longer, you'll have a better mental health, better physical health, it'll actually benefit your marriage, it'll benefit your whole life. So first of all, friendships are, I'd say, vital for our well-being. There are a lot of studies out there that I recommend people checking out. Your first question was, what was your first question again, Tony?
Oh, that why are men lack so many men lacking in male friendships that you see? I see tons of men that maybe they have one male friend and they meet at the pub to talk about the football team once a month. Like, that's it. And there's, other than that, they're just nose to the grindstone. Like, there's literally, you talk to them and they don't have any other male friends.
Definitely. I think there are several, I'd like to call them roadblocks to male friendships. I was actually interviewed by CNN earlier this year, so it was published in April, an article about that, roadblocks to male friendships and how to overcome them. And I think one of the first things that I recognized it in my own life, the temptation to just talk, to let things be shallow. To believe the myth that, boys, we don't really need to go that deep. We don't really need to talk about how we do, because we're simple. We're simple human beings. We just, we're not like women, so we don't need to talk about our feelings, right? which is a big fat lie. Yeah, men are different than women. Like, men and women are different, but we're both human beings, and we need to have these close relationships. It's in our DNA. But then, as a lot of boys and boys grow up, especially in Western culture, but I've also been in Kenya and different other cultures to see how male friendships looks like there. But and when boys grow up, basically, especially in Western culture, a lot of boys are trained away from embracing these qualities, these human qualities that that are necessary for them to connect and create healthy friendships, like, being vulnerable, talking about their feelings, expressing love, all these qualities that we sometimes consider feminine, but I would call them human qualities, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tweak that a little bit. In the work we've done, because I think that if I like I've done trainings, if I mention anything about talking about feelings, men will not come to it. It doesn't matter how much they like me or think I'm a leader and I have something to offer. But if I language it, and I learned this from the Mankind Project, to be honest with you, they taught me that there's attractive language for men that gets the job done. And so when I started couching it as learning to be more authentic, raising your emotional intelligence, it's the same thing, but it's like men are like, oh no, I want higher emotional intelligence and I want to be more authentic and comfortable in my skin. They'll come to that weekend, but the one where it's about your feelings, it just to me, I just like, look, I've done a beta test and I find that men will line up if it's about raising their emotional intelligence and being authentic, right? And so, but I wanted to.
It's so interesting.
Yeah, it is. And but I wanted to ask you because I have pushed back on a number of faulty narratives, and I wanted to read you a couple. They're actually from one of your books. I grabbed them. I think it was from The Bro Code. But so there's here they are. There's men are not interested in close friendships with other men. Men aren't wired to be emotionally intimate with other men. And even men are only interested in sex, or men are only interested in sports. I mean, it's such crap. It is so not true, but you still hear those cliches thrown around, sometimes by women, but sometimes by other men who don't want to go there. And I guess I wanted to just ask you, how you address that. It's almost like a taboo topic to talk about anything that has depth, yet I have found men to be incredibly soulful, incredibly truthful, and have a ton of depth, but only because I know that it's there. I don't pay attention to the cliches, so I can small talk about my baseball team, but if I really want to know to how know if I really want to get to know a man, I almost have to create conversations where we start talking about the things that we're facing that are challenging to us, even if it's not in a retreat format, where we just start talking about what's real, what's really going on over there with you. Does that make sense?
Definitely. I think, First of all, I think it's a lot of the reason why I started Brothers was because I was sick of the shallow hangouts. I was like, I got one life here on this earth, and I want to make the most out of it. And I don't have time for, sorry, just a beer at a bar, and that's it. Or just like, my boy's freaking out if anyone opens up about something a little bit deeper, Like I deserve better, and my boys deserve better. They deserve, a friend who really wants the best for them, right? And who can talk to them about things. First of all, I think it's important to a lot of men will probably first, when they hear about the topic of, I work with the topic of male friendships, they'll think, oh, why should I pay attention to this? Do I need to, like, are you trying to turn me into like a woman? Or like, I'm not, I'm a man, right? I'm like, I've never said anything like, I always say, let men be men, but men need friendships too. But if we just reserve close friendships for women, then we're doing ourselves a huge disfavor, and the taboo, attached to the topic of male friendships, was probably the first roadblock I faced in my work. A lot of men, just when I just said that I worked with this topic, they'd feel like, oh, there must be something wrong with him, or something's off, but. Like I do a lot of public speaking, and then sometimes I'd speak in front of the same kind of people who in the beginning they would frown upon it, and then after a talk they'd be like, "Man, I never thought I needed to hear this until you came and talked about it." And I
Yeah, it's what's funny, Kim, is I grew up with brothers in a working class town. My listeners know I grew up, I was in sports as a big, it was working class. Sports was everything, right? So I grew up in kind of the crucible of male camaraderie because we would do battle on Friday nights at the foot on the football field, and there was all of that. And if I think if women saw how young boys relate to one another, they're very jocular. They're very physical. You might be wrestling and pushing, but you might be hugging. You might, like if women saw how men are when their guards are down and they really have affinity for one another, it's not gay. I think that's the thing that like, it puts out, oh, that's gay. It's like, it's not gay. I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm talking about the bond of men. And I always found that boys and men were naturally canine, like pack animals. Like we wrestle, we tussle, we're a little rough and tumble. We step on each other's toes, but then we get over it really fast. I mean, my wife has commented, like, you guys say and act and do things that women would never do, nor it would cause like a sever in their friendship forever. And you guys will just be hollering at each other about something, and then it's all over and done with. And you guys are forgive, and you're still brothers. And it's like, so I just think there's something about the way that men, how we are together, that's very unique. And I feel, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel bad for men that don't have that because I get so much medicine and affirmation and love, and I just feel super connected to the male tribe because I've allowed myself. I see the value in being in a little bit of a pack and having a circle of men. And I think, and this is really my question to you, is like, I think men long to be seen and understood by other men. I think there's something in our DNA that it's, we have fought in, if you go back generations to the male tribe, and we fought in wars together, we've done battle, we've seen all kinds of hardships over any kind of family lineage, doesn't matter where you're at in the world. And there's something about the male bonding that's in our DNA that I think we suffer when we don't tend to it, when we don't acknowledge, look, I need to have men see, and I need to see other men. It's super important. So I just wanted to give you a chance to weigh in on that as well, because it's certainly been my experience. And the canine thing I always mention, because it's really, to me, is a good description of what men are like when you get them all together.
Yeah, I think I like to challenge and I like to encourage. And I think we need both. I love that, the way I bond with my boys. It's so chill. I love it, we can go deep and talk about things that really, really matter to us, and then we can joke and do something funny. Like there's something special about real brotherhood. But there are also challenges, and I think it's good to grasp them one and not let go of the other, to admit to ourselves that yes, I value the friendships that I have, and but how can I also, are there things that, like, I think there are a lot of men out there who they do have friends, but oh man, if you just knew how much deeper those friendships could get. So it's like, that's not to hate on, like to be like, "Hey, bro, you suck," but it's more like, bro, appreciate the friends you have, and don't take them for granted, because I think there is a lot of men as well. I like to ask a lot of guys, and like, "Do you talk about deep stuff with your friends?" "Ah, not necessarily." And then I'm like, "Oh, why not?" "Ah, I think we're fine." I'm like, "Oh, I think I'm fine." And then I'm like, "Oh, bro, that's fine. But what about your friend? Do you think he's struggling sometimes without daring to tell you?" And then they turn quiet. Because it's not about me, it's about us, it's about the other. Yes, it's about me, but it's also about, like, I like to ask not just what do I want, but what do you think your friend longs for? How can I be a better brother? How can I be someone who sees my friend, who fights for my friend, who calls out the best in him and calls him out when he does something stupid, right? Because there's enough of that. I believe that brotherhood and the power of male friendship is so strong. But if it's not, if you're not intentional, if you don't steward the gift of brotherhood, it can turn into something not so good. It can happen to anything. I'm not just saying that's for a minute. It can happen to anything. My career, if I don't steward it well, I have to be intentional, and that's what I'm basically. Of course, we love it when it's organic too, but both end, let us also be intentional about these friendships.
I wanted to ask you, I didn't put it on the list of things that I was going to talk to you about, but I definitely wanted to ask you because one thing I have found, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, is I have, I've been blessed with male friendships my whole life. They haven't always been the same friends. As things have ch shifted and changed, sometimes it's a different, sometimes a new friend will come in that'll get, will be really close. But I find that I can go to a certain depth with friends as we're chatting and hanging out, but if it's if you really want to go to that deepest level, it you almost have to create a men's group. You almost have to create a retreat setting where you can create kind of some sacred space. We just did that recently with Jimmy and John, a couple of good buddies of mine. And that allows, because then you can introduce, topics, you can introduce deeper processes where men can go, oh my God. Like for instance, we did one on the on this past retreat, which was called My Greatest Fear. And so men got to chance to weigh in on what their fears were. And as you go around a circle and hear a man's fears, your guard comes down because you're like, holy cow, I thought this guy was, nothing but gold, and I'm hearing all of the stuff that's underneath it that is not talked about. And I'm a man that can go deep in a friendship, but I almost need those retreats and those men's groups. Otherwise, it's not natural to access those. Like, I'm not just going to start talking to you, Kim, down at the pub, or if we're mountain biking, or on, I'm not going to, like, let me tell you my greatest fears, Kim, but I might talk about, hey, I'm struggling with this, or hey, I went to the doctor and he gave me this news, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of freaking out. Like, I'll go to that level, but that really deeper level, I almost think it has to be intentionally, meaning we're doing a men's group and we're doing rounds, or we've got a retreat coming up in April and we're, come and, this is really going to help you find your own emotional depths in a way that is right for you. Does that make sense?
I think again, I'm very like I believe that there can be many different ways to this, and I think for some men, men's groups are probably the best way and the best start. For other men, like for me personally, like with, let's say, one of my best friends, like, of course, everyone knows, everyone who knows me knows that I work, that this is my work, so I feel like almost anyone who comes to me feel like they can open up about the deepest stuff. And I'm like, hey, I don't really know you, but anyway. But when it comes to my best friend, one of my best friends, we can sit down, have a coffee, and just like, or just do something, like do an activity, do sports, and then just go like talk about the deepest thing, or the stuff that is really, really that I'm really fighting with. I think I like to challenge those who, if you find it difficult to open up one on one, then maybe challenge yourself there. But if you find it challenging to open up in a group, maybe challenge yourself there. And I think, but you'll figure out what works best for you. But honestly, for my when it comes to me, I find it. Of course, I have like when I hang out with my boys, like in groups. We can go deep and talk about what our. It's funny. I just came from a road trip, or like a camping trip, and we went on a mountain here in Norway. And when we woke up in the morning, we had our coffee outside the tent, And we just started talking about crying, about how often we cry and why we cry. If it's sad cries, not sad, if we're crying because we're sad or because we're moved, watching a movie or something. And oh, that's so cool. And we talked about that. We were three friends hanging out. But it depends. It depends what's the culture in your friendship. I like to ask guys when I talk to them, what is the culture in your friendship? Is it if you could split your friendship into like if it's if into a cake or like turn your friendship into like pretend that it's a cake and then how like if you split into pieces how much percentage of your friendship is like basically you guys talking about deep stuff or how much of it is activities, how much of it is through social media, how much, and then just evaluate a little, ask yourself, okay, is there room for conversations and for the deeper things in my friendships? It doesn't mean that we should go deep all the time. You know what I'm saying? But basically what I'm saying is, yes, men's groups, go for it. And also one-on-one, go for it.
That's
And you'll
great.
figure out, what works for you. And there is, what's beautiful in group is that sometimes it becomes less, not as scary because when you're one-on-one, sometimes to me, it becomes more vulnerable, I'll use the word intimate. But there are also some things that I will only tell my friends when I'm with them one-on-one. Because there are some of my friends, they know, like, there's stuff in my life that only one or two people know about. That I'm not going to share it with anyone else. But they had the privilege, and I have the privilege to hear from them when it comes to those things.
That's
But yeah, and
great.
what's yeah, I could talk forever about this, but.
No, I love it. You wrote something that was really great in the Bro Code. You said if, and I'm paraphrasing your writing here. I didn't grab the quote, but you said if you ask a 5-year-old boy about his best friend, he will gush and get excited and say how much he loves him, how great he is, right? And this is very true. But if you ask a grown man the same question about his best friend, you'll get, you won't get the same effusive, overflowing love. I mean, you could, if it was you, maybe, but you get something different. Like you might even get like, oh yeah, he's a really good man. You might get something that lacks affect and lacks that kind of, oh my God, this guy, he's so important to me, right? And I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about that, like, and point out to the listeners, like, how, whether we've realized it or not, like, you and I are both men who have spent time in looking at the male psychology and looking under the hood, both at ourselves and in other men. And we have this kind of stoicism and strength that's in our DNA that we don't want to push away and say, oh, that characteristic's no good. But we
Definitely
lose,
not.
but we lose if we only do that, and we won't even gush about some man that we love and adore and like has been, like you said, I told this friend, something that maybe I've never told another man. Like, we lose that effusive, free-flowing joy about male friendships because we don't think, we think people might think we're weird or gay or, or effeminate if we gush about about our best friend, right? And it's interesting to note because I might do the same thing. I may not gush like I was that free-flowing, like when I was a kid, when I would have gushed about my best friend. It was interesting to me to go, you know what? I would probably be kind of tempered in my description of my bestie, right?
And I think that's how you express like your love for a friend. Like I don't, my point, my goal is never to get guys to become like, oh yeah, like my best friend. That's not, I couldn't care. Sorry, I couldn't care less. But at the same time, if you're afraid to express that you care, that you appreciate, or sometimes we just say appreciate instead of I love because,
Safer.
but sorry, I don't care about that. So I'll use the word love. Sometimes we don't want, like, we're afraid, if you're afraid to express love because you're afraid of it being misunderstood, or afraid of like, oh, this is too like, what is he going to think? Is it going to be weird? Am I, is it less manly? Then I would suggest it's worth talking about. Because it's kind of weird that we that it's actually pretty weird that we men find it weird sometimes to express love towards the people who matter the most to us. It just doesn't make sense. It does make sense unless you're drunk. Unless you're drunk. And then I like the oh, you said something. What was your sometimes I just forget.
I was talking
What was your
about, well, I was talking about how it was interesting when I read the story in your book that there's a big difference between how adult men describe their best friend and a 5-year-old. It's just, and it's not a right or wrong, but it's just like there's not a lot of free-flowing joy, I don't think. There's a lack of that sometimes in grown men, including myself, I might add. So, yeah.
Definitely. I think it should inspire us, not and maybe challenge us a little bit to see that. Because honestly, there's like I'm a pretty it's sometimes it's as if joy is looked at as less masculine sometimes. I'm just thinking out loud.
I think it
Expressing
is.
joy, yeah, which I'm like, oh, that's sad.
You
How I do
know
that.
what's okay? It's okay for men to be excited about the football, basketball, baseball team. That kind of expression is fine and accepted, but just pure joy, joy in another's presence, free-flowing joy. That is seen as like, oh man, what is it up with this guy? Like he's weird. He's got something going on. Like, right? If you were really going to be expressing joy at every turn in the present moment, you'd get a lot of sideways looks, I have a feeling.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's just
So we end up like we end up repressing the whole thing where we just like we turn it off. So we never We can never access the joy that we had as little boys. That all of a sudden becomes something that's off limits because we have bought into the man code, which says, oh, don't do that. You know,
yeah,
don't.
don't express, too much joy, too much like love towards especially your friends, and don't express vulnerability. And I love what you said. We got to take care of and steward the strength that men has been given. Biologically, we also have testosterone. There's a lot of different th it's so cool how our bodies are different. And I love that. But sometimes the men who appear the strongest are the weakest. Some men spend so much energy on trying to keep the mask on, and they'll say, "Well, I don't need to talk about, or lean on my friends," but they lean on every other thing like addiction or other type, drugs, sex, gaming, whatever. They lean on other things and have other coping mechanisms that are quite damaging to them, but at least they're not leaning on a human being, because that would be less masculine, right? No, not at all, not at all. And so a strong man, and I feel the struggle myself. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I could be. I'm like a little bit more. I'm a feeler, but I'm also a thinker. Things have to like I love to use, to discuss and figure out what's logical about things, and get to the bottom of things. But I've sometimes felt like, oh, as I still struggle with this whole false narrative of if I express we like my struggles, then I'm weak and I'm not I shouldn't express that as a man, which actually keeps people at a distance. And it's not healthy for myself or any relationship, friendship or marriage or whatever. But that doesn't mean that I don't also need to hear sometimes, Kim, be strong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Be strong, stand up, lift up, like you stand up straight, be strong. But also sometimes I need to hear, bro, just like one of my friends, I was hanging out with him, and we just like last autumn, I'm just talking, but last autumn, I had a basically a little life, not a little, a life crisis. And I remember I called one of my best friends and I was like, bro, I need to talk. And I went over to his place. He said, bro, come to my place. And I went to his place, walked up the stairs to his apartment, and he was standing there with the door open. He just like, and his arms open, and he just hugged me. And we went into his living room, and it was what I was going through was so painful that I remember I just sat down on the floor, knelt down on the floor, and I started crying. And he just sat down next to me, and he said, Kim, take my hand. And I held his hand, and he said, squeeze it as hard as you can. And I did it. And I squeezed it as hard as I could, because sometimes when you're, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm sad, sometimes I can feel, anger.
Sure.
And I was like, ah, oh, this anger. I'm like, why is this happening? And then we were there for like, let's say 5, 10 minutes, and I was just crying, ugly cry. That was nasty, man, but beautiful at the same time. And then he said, bro, just sit down on the couch, and I'll make us some food. Prepare some food. And that's the best part, a man needs some food.
Yeah.
That helps. But that moment was I'll call it a pivotal moment in my friendship with this friend of mine. And allowing someone to see the darkest parts in me,
Yeah.
and still they're like, man, I love you even more now.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we do this one process that you reminded me of that I think is really important. It separates what I call like the LinkedIn persona of a man. So we all have this like forward, out on LinkedIn, that's, and it doesn't have to be LinkedIn, but you have a forward facing, and that version of the man can be kind of intimidating because it's like, when we did the process recently at this retreat, my LinkedIn profile, I mean, I've got two podcasts. This one's listened to in 8 different countries. I'm an author. I coached soccer for, 12 seasons. I've been an avid equity investor for a long time. Like on the surface, it can be kind of intimidating, right? And it's like, and then so then we do this process where it's like, okay, what are your judgments of this man? And men might feel kind of like at arm's length, or fuck, I wish I was, as financially literate as he is, or I've always wanted to do a podcast myself, shit, they, and then the next round is my deeper truth. And so I love this process, and I do it in every retreat because it is my great joy to start us off to model the process where I get to talk about all the shadow stuff, because I've been a recovering addict of damn near everything for my whole life. So when they start hearing all the things I screwed up and messed up, and all the ways that I'm a fuck up and an addict, and I just, and all my fears and doubts, and I'm still gonna fuck up my retirement and blah blah blah. When they hear me speak the truth, and I do it like, I've been doing it a long time, so I can just rattle it off. I don't even think about it. Then it's like, and then it's the next part is, now what are your judgments about this man? I can feel the love and the appreciation, and everybody's guard comes down because it's like, oh my God, I can speak the truth. And I would have never guessed that this guy that looks like this and talks like this has all this other stuff that's his real self. And so it's one of my favorite processes to do because I want the men to know. I don't ever want to be larger than life to anybody, certainly not to my 18-year-old or to my friends.
On.
I don't want them to think, oh, his shit's so together. I'm like, my shit's not together. Let me do this process with you so you can see that I am just like you in a million different ways. And yeah, it's a really endearing process. And then everybody gets to go And that's what sets the tone. After that, everybody's like, oh shit, we've just spoken the truth in a big way. And then there's hugs galore because it's like, now I really know you. And before, maybe I was a little intimidated. You're a facilitator, or Kim, you've done this work for a long time, and you're confident in doing this, and I'm not. But when you share on that level, then men can be like, oh, my guard is down and my affinity is way up for these men. But I wanted to ask you before we sign off, just where can people find you? Where can people work with you? Where's the website? Where's your writing? Your book, The New Bro Code, I read it. It's great. I mean, there's not very many people writing about male friendship. So I got it. I'll recommend it and tell people in the outro too where to go find it. But I wanted to give you a chance just to mention any kind of creative projects or just where your website is, where people can find your book, find you, maybe click and work with you if that's what you're doing right now.
Thanks for you could always find out about brothers at our website, wearebrothers.org. And also I've written two books, but the latest one is called The Real Bro Code, and I
The
think
real bro code.
that's the the real bro, that's the one that I recommend, because it's you've read it, right?
Yep, I have.
So it's like I recommend that, and that's the book that I bring to my talks and everything, so people can purchase it there. And it's easy to share with your friends, because a lot of men are never going to pick up a book, called, let's say, a book about friendship, They're not gonna, they're just, it's, yeah, probably not. So it's like you just gotta wrap it, like you said in the beginning, you gotta wrap it in the right way. But yeah, so that's one way. And if people want to reach out, if people want to, I don't know, I don't know who's listening, but I'm also, oh, hopefully by the end of this year or next year, I'll come to the States again and meet some friends and do some networking and probably do some podcasting and maybe even some talks. But that's been postponed for a while. But yeah, just reach out if anyone's got questions or they want to just encourage. And I think I've honestly, for me, I one of my yeah, I'm just a dude who wants to fight for something that's close to my heart. Like, I'm not perfect. I got like I'm also trying to encourage myself, by the way. It's not like criticizing myself, but if my main mission with my work is to inspire men, whoever they are, whatever kind of personality you have, if you're a sports dude, if you're not, if you're more academic, if like whatever kind of dude you are, you need close friendships, and it's going to look a little bit different in each of our lives, but we need these friendships, and I hope and I hope whoever's listening, how valuable you are to some people and to some guys in your life. And yeah, there's yeah, so I'm cheering on you guys.
Beautiful. Well, Kim, thank you so much for coming on Basecamp for Men and sharing your insight and your wisdom. I love what you're doing. You're a young man stepping into this men's space. We need more men like you. And so
Thanks.
however we can support you, we'll keep track of your writing. If you come stateside, let us know and we can hook you in wherever you're going to be. But we'll just keep track of you. Come back anytime as you launch new products, or if you go in a different directions, please let us know and we'll bring you back on and chit chat about things. We have dovetailing interests in the development of men. I have an 18-year-old son, so I'm watching him as well and tracking his male friendships and how he's doing in his hero's journey. So, but yeah, thanks so much again. It was just really great to connect with you, and good luck with everything for the rest of the year. And we'll just be in touch. But thank you, Kim. I really appreciate it.
Too easy. Thanks, Tony.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I bless the work that Kim is doing at Brothers. I think it's a really important mission, and I'm grateful that young men like Kim are helping to lead the way. Thank you, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week.
you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.